love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
Are you in God's training program? Are you being trained for righteousness? Many times when we purchase a new tree, a small tree, a sapling, we will stake it so that it grows straight up. And God gives us so much symbolism in His Word about gardens and trees. And we can have a glimpse of how He works in our lives. His Word gives us enlightenment, but He also shows us in types. We know what He has called us to in Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow up like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God, and they will yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And the Lord wants the unrighteousness in us to be gone. Are you being trained to rule and reign? Are you being trained to be planted in the garden of our God? Reading from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting with verse 7. Let God train you, for He is doing what any loving father does for his children. Whoever heard of a man who was never corrected? If God doesn't punish you when you need it, as other fathers punish their sons, then it means that you aren't really God's son after all. That you don't really belong to His family. Since we respect our fathers here on earth, though they punish us, should we not all the more cheerfully submit to God's training so that we can really begin to live? Our earthly fathers trained us for a few brief years, doing the best for us that they knew how. But God's correction is always right, and for our best good, that we may share His holiness. Being punished isn't enjoyable when it is happening. It hurts, but afterwards we can see the result, a quiet growth in grace and character. So, take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs and mark out a straight, smooth path for your feet so that those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, will not fall and hurt themselves, but become strong. Others are watching us. The Word and the Lord Jesus Christ call us to be living epistles, that when others look at us, they can see Jesus in our lives. That's some responsibility. And in myself, I can't do this. But when I abide in the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, when I say yes to Him, when I yield to Him, it's more than possible. It will happen. So if you feel like you're being trained by God and under discipline, trust the fact that God is doing a wonderful work in your life. Believe that you will bear forth the fruit of righteousness. And reading on to verse 14, try to stay out of all quarrels and seek to live a clean and holy life. For one who is not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. Watch out that no bitterness take root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. This is so true, that we want to be good. We want to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to do works for the kingdom, but we don't see the importance of relationships. God is love, and when we do not walk in love, we are not walking in God. And if that root of bitterness, if we don't keep short accounts with God and deal with that unforgiveness and resentment, immediately that root starts growing, and it will strangle what God is doing in our lives. And it's almost like a tree that's stunted. It's always easier to see in other people's lives what happened and why they're not growing rather than our own. And we will observe that many times we'll see someone after 10 years and they really haven't changed that much from their first encounter, or maybe they were growing for 5 or 10 years and we do not see the growth. They're still speaking the same problem, still sounding very much the same as they did back to the time that we last saw them. And we'll find out a root of bitterness grew in, a resentment and unforgiveness many times. It really is against the Lord because of disappointments, things that they thought might happen, didn't happen, betrayals, and maybe even angry with themselves. But that root has strangled out the growth that God would have in their lives. If you've done any gardening and you've seen a root-bound plant, you go to the nursery and you pull that little plant out, and the roots are all entangled one with another. And if you were to plant it just like that, and you notice the plant does not grow, but it sort of withers, and many times it will die, and you can pull that up and you'll see the roots are still bound together because they were not soaked, they were not shaken, they were not untied. Reading the same scripture from the Blessing Version, work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing, but by then it was too late, tears or no tears. How many times we want what we want when we want it, and we want it right away, and we'll worry about it tomorrow and repent tomorrow, and we do not realize the price of our decisions. And the Lord expects more of us the more we know. To whom much is given, much is expected. And to be conscious of the fact that the decisions that we make are lifelong decisions. And the wages of sin are death, and God does forgive us. But we also have the scars of those bad decisions that we have made. And our thought life can become like that root-bound plant, trying to justify our behavior, trying to blame other people for our sinfulness, blocking our sinfulness, trying to drown our sinfulness, maybe in a drug, maybe in alcohol, maybe in food. And there is no life to that. The only life that can come to us is when our roots, when we reach down deep into the water, into the river of life, into Jesus Christ, and accept the fact and acknowledge the fact that we have gone the wrong way. We have been befuddled maybe by the spirit of this world, by our own desires, the lusts of our own flesh, and we just become so circular in our logic and justifying our behavior that we can't even seem to get out of that thought pattern if it goes on too long. And then we need to seek help. And we know who to ask. Oh, God, help me, a sinner. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just circling and cycling one more time with the same problem, saying the same things. I need enlightenment. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Master Gardener to come into my life, and maybe with a knife to cut off the dead roots and be repotted. And that's painful. But it brings life. It brings joy and it brings peace. We need that surgery in our soul. Father, I want to be like that tree that's planted near the river of life. I want to be free from all those roots in my mind and in my heart, free from bitter root expectancy, the hardness in my heart, in my mind. I need you to touch me, oh God, and set me free from that circle of sin and death, and the sin that so easily besets me. Take my life, oh God. Take my heart, my mind. Touch me by your Spirit.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. God, we want to be yours.
gone and take our wills. So many times we want to do the things that we want to do.
Thank you for your precious blood, Lord Jesus, that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. We thank you, though our sin be as red as scarlet, you will make it as white as snow. We thank you for your cleansing blood shed on Calvary. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're sanctifying us. How faithful God is to complete that which he has started within our lives. Reading from Joel, 3rd chapter, verse 12. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me all your hearts. Come with fasting and weeping and mourning. Let your remorse tear at your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He is not easily angered. He is full of kindness and anxious not to punish you. Sometimes because of our childhood, we're afraid to tell the truth. Because if we told the truth to maybe one of our parents, we would be chastised, punished. And so we lied, we played games, we became deceitful, and we put those same attributes on our Father God because we really don't know who he is. He is filled with compassion. His heart is towards us, and he is waiting for us to return to him that we might be healed. Reading from Psalm 128. Blessings on all who reverence and trust the Lord, on all who obey him. Their reward shall be prosperity and happiness. Your wife shall be contented in your home. And look at all those children. There they sit around the dinner table as vigorous and healthy as young olive trees. This is God's reward to those who reverence and trust him. May the Lord continually bless you with heaven's blessings as well as with your human joys. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren, and may God bless Israel. How true that is, that God blesses us in the land of the living. And many times when we're going through difficult times, we don't see the blessings because we're concentrating on our problems, on our distresses. But when we look around and how God blesses our obedience, to look to our families and thank God for those that he has touched in our lives. He is so faithful to us, our children and our children's children. His blessings are for 1,000 generations. How we can trust him as we yield to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Reading from Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners scoffing at the things of God, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to, and day and night are always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. They are like trees along a riverbank, bearing luscious fruit, each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all they do shall prosper. What a promise to draw our life from the river of life, from the fountain of life, Jesus Christ. The word tells us that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to eat his word, meditate on his word, and let it become life to us, in us and through us, to stand in his presence the rain of the Holy Spirit coming down and nurturing us. How important it is for us to have our roots way down deep into His love, as His trees of righteousness. For when the winds blow and the storm comes, we will be standing when it's over. Trials and tribulations are bound to come in our life, but His grace is sufficient. Reading from Romans, the 5th chapter, 3rd verse, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then, when that happens, we are able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us. And we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love.
Standing tall in the forest, a tree standing tall is the finest of wood. Standing alone, the beautiful chosen one. Branches reach strong and its branches reach wide to the heavens from creation. The birds of the air find their nest there. Down, humble.
to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, for in due season we shall be exalted. To be humble servants of the living God, to glorify His life in the earth, to be that tree that's a shade tree for those that are thirsty, those that are weary, to be a place of rest for those that are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ and are just tired of this world and tired of wandering. So many things in this life, they promised to be the answer to our quest satisfactions, and yet they're not. And we have the answer within us. We have the living God. We have the Word of God. And we have the Spirit of God to give those who are weary travelers in this life, that they might come under a leafy green bough and rest and learn of Him from our lives as we choose to follow the Master. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And Proverbs 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And we can be that tree of life to the weary traveler. God loves you with an amazing love. Mary Winchell here.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.